Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial. I got two of my better friends with me today. We're going to talk a little bit about the new book, and the book is called The Real Fauci, Anthony Fauci. A lot of interesting things about that book. I'm going through it. Most of my friends in the book club are reading it right now. There are a lot of allegations made in that book that may or may not be true. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to go down to the very bottom. Let me introduce these two guys. First of all, James Farley, who's been on numerous times discussing medical issues. James is probably the most successful guy who I know who made a living in the medical industry without being a doctor. Now, that's not to say that he was like an attorney and like practicing law and not being an attorney. It's not to say that at all, so don't get the wrong idea. And then of course, Rob Shires. Rob is a computer analyst, and he is very, very good at doing research. We're going to talk about this book right now. We're going to start it. We're going to give you a little bit of background on Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Robbie, why don't you take that?
Well, I noticed that this book is ranked fifth on the New York Times top-selling books, and he's way up there on the Amazon site, even though Amazon has refused to promote the book in any way. And so it's a very controversial book, and we're just looking to get to the bottom of who thinks what about the book as to whether or not it's correct or not. It's basically anti-vaxxer rhetoric, in my opinion. He first criticized, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. made a bad name for himself in 2005 when he first criticized vaccination. I think one of the issues is that Fauci is hugely popular and social media companies don't want to hear anti-vaccine arguments, which they refer to as misinformation.
And talking about vax in general, vaccination in general, James, give us your opinion on that kind of in a macro sense, would you?
On being vaccinated?
Not being vaccinated.
Al, is your question specifically around COVID or is it around vaccine in general?
COVID.
Let me take this as being immunized in general. We've been immunizing people for decades. It hasn't always worked exactly as intended because of sort of the process, starting back with polio and measles and diphtheria and many other diseases that we've eradicated. The science around that has been historically around taking an attenuated virus or a live virus, depending on what the disease is, giving somebody a minor infection of that disease in order to build up immunity. The difference now is that the science has evolved to be able to use mRNA to be very, very, very targeted. So I'm going to use a different example. If somebody has a bacterial infection and antibiotics are warranted, antibiotics are like trying to take a hammer to squish a gnat. You don't need this massive thing that's going to kill a whole bunch of bacteria when there's really one bacteria that needs to be killed. So using the mRNA model, it's not even part of the virus. It's taking, I think the example that I was using in another discussion is a child's toy where they've got little shapes that fit into a board and you got to match up the shapes. Well, this is exactly like that. The mRNA is the table, and the virus then just sits into this and gets neutralized. Well, it's because it's so specific, it's so effective. And then when you have, say, a mutation and the little shapes coming out of the virus have changed and need to plug in, they're able to make modifications to the table, the mRNA sequence, and be able to address yet another mutation of the same vaccine. Now, that said, it only is effective if enough people in the population have been immunized so that the mutations of the virus can be stopped. And as I said in a different conversation, this is not an American issue. This is a worldwide issue, because we could have 100% of people in the United States immunized, and if 20% of Africa or South America or parts of Asia aren't immunized at all, we still have a problem, because it's still going to come back here. So we're a worldwide healthcare economy, if you will. So I'm very supportive of being immunized. It's not any different than what we do with our children to protect them from measles and other diseases, and it's part of normal sort of human hygiene to be able to have sanitation and washing your hands and, you know, covering your mouth when we sneeze so we're not infecting other people with our germs and bad habits.
Right.
So
I personally would have to say that I think the major complaint against of the anti-vaxxers is the fact that they don't want to be able to make up their own mind. They don't want the government to tell them what to do. And I think that's one of the reasons that we have a relatively low level of immunization in some countries, specifically here in the United States. I've seen most of the numbers for the U.S., and I have to say that nowhere is it approaching anywhere near 90% of the population. The only place where I've seen a huge, huge amount of effect involving basically all of the population is among the Pennsylvania Dutch. They have developed a herd mentality. There's not a herd mentality, but a herd immunity, and they've done it very effectively just by going ahead and getting sick and taking it from there. That has worked very, very well for there, I would have to say. You know, the comment I would have to make about Fauci is, both a Republican president and a Democratic president have counted on Fauci. I mean, I heard Donald Trump basically giving glowing reports about Fauci, and now we've got Joe Biden doing exactly the same thing. Now, what I think is interesting is here's an interesting comment from this particular book from Fauci himself. He's saying, it's really unfortunate because I really don't think that the author is inherently malicious. I think he's just a very disturbed individual, and I don't like to have to say that, but it's very, very clear. And it's a shame because it comes from such an extraordinarily distinguished family, many members of whom I know personally. And I was very close to Senator Ted Kennedy, who was such an extraordinary person and a real warrior for public health. And to have RFK just sprouting things that make absolutely no sense is really, really too bad. Well, I would have to agree with that to an extent. Rob, you did some research on Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Let's talk about his medical credentials. There really don't seem to be any.
No, and I think most of this stuff is anti-vaxxer rhetoric about people's right to be stupid. And I don't mind if people want to be stupid as long as it doesn't result in a shortage of hospital beds.
But unfortunately, what's happening is it is causing a shortage of hospital beds, because the mortality rate on COVID is one thing. The morbidity rate on COVID is something entirely different, as James brought up earlier when we were talking about this off mic. COVID is a disease that I don't particularly want to have. It's a real, real nasty, nasty way to spend a couple of 3 days. I personally don't want to do it, even though I know that the mortality rate, for people in my particular demographic is relatively low. People who are 78 have a mortality rate of probably something less than 1% when it comes to COVID. But I have to agree with Robbie when he says, I just don't want something that's going to fill a hospital to the point where other people can't even get in. And that has actually happened in the past. James, you've been in this industry for your entire career. Comment on what I just said, would you?
So the morbidity rate of this disease is, you know, it's in some patients, it's aligned with the flu. how many, you know, the, and some people will say, I don't know that, and I'm not going to comment on the statistic of this because I haven't compared the two, but some will say that COVID is there, that the morbidity is the same as the flu or very close. I don't know that that's factual or not, but I do know that the flu is around. People die every year from the flu, but I'll also tell you that it does not overwhelm hospitals. It does not fill all the ICU beds and the medical beds in hospitals and overwhelm hospitals to the point where elective surgeries, and in some cases emergency surgeries, there's no capacity to provide care for other people. And so even on that basis, there's no comparison with the flu. The flu also doesn't have long-term implications for people. It doesn't, you know, this long haul, I'm giving you an example, Mike, about an employee that I had who had a pre-existing condition of asthma. And for them, it, after their week or two with, you know, intense symptoms, took out their vocal cords, took out one of their lungs, and it's permanent. So did they die? No. But they have a lifetime of morbidity as a result of this disease, and they're not alone. I mean, some people have other implications. So I think trying to compare it with the flu is sort of nonsensical. And the rate that spreads and the morbidity that it causes is nowhere near in comparison to any flu epidemic in our lifetime.
James, I think you make an excellent point, and I noticed that there is a table at the beginning of the author's book. Kennedy is calling out the mortality rate as a reason where the vaccines should not be required, but that's really not the case in reality, because there's not enough ventilators out there to treat the people that have the disease. So he was actually banned on Instagram in February for repeatedly sharing debunked claims about the coronavirus or vaccines, and YouTube suspended his account in September. Still, his book has skyrocketed to number two on Amazon, and it's just amazing how many people are buying this book. Don't understand why. Even his own family have said, you know, RFK is our brother and uncle, but he's tragically wrong about vaccines. And his niece says, I love my uncle, but when it comes to vaccines, he is wrong.
You know, I got to tell you guys, I think a good way to wrap this thing up would be to simply say America is comprised of a country of people who are very, very independent. They really don't like the government telling them what to do. And I happen to fall into that category, as most of you know. So in terms of mandating this particular immunization, that's very, very different from just generally having the immunization itself. And I think the only place where I would stand to be corrected here is, as James compared sanitary conditions to immunization, I think it's a very good comparison, personally speaking. Is this immunization going to be effective? Well, it's already proven to be not 100% effective. A lot of my friends, a lot of guests on the show, for example, have been triple immunized and have gotten the disease, so nothing is perfect. I'd like you to address that question, if you would, James, and we're going to try to cut this in about 2 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, this the virus is mutating, and that's why it's the current vaccine or immunization that's there. 100% effective, but it's effective enough that the people who are these quote-unquote breakthrough cases where people have already been immunized, they aren't getting as sick. You know, they're having mild symptoms, fast recovery, fewer hospitalizations. So the hospitalization rate today, those hospitals that I was talking about being overwhelmed,
yeah,
those aren't people who have been immunized. People who have not been immunized, And they're the ones getting sicker.
You know, I just went through Europe, Austria and Germany, and their culture is such that they're happy to stand in line and get the vaccine. Although the fact of the matter is the government has mandated that in order to go into any public establishment, you have to show proof of vaccination and ID. And they're standing in line and they look happy to do it. And I've talked to people who are just saying that's the way it is. And the culture there is, yes, we're going to battle this thing. We're going to band together and get vaccinated. And in the U.S., it seems that the culture is divided, and there's a lot of people out there who just don't want to be a part of it. And I think that's a culture problem in the United States.
I would call it a culture.
You know, Rob, I was reflecting on your comment a minute ago about we didn't understand why people were buying this book. It's so popular, yet here are all these family members, other circumstances about why it doesn't make sense. And it occurred to me and continues to that people who are buying it are getting reinforcement to something that they believe
exactly
already. And they're coming from a place of fear. And that, you know, sort of my last thing is your for your listeners is whatever you're afraid of, figure out why and what to do about it. And then
do it.
Stop coming from a place of fear in your life. Be bold, be thoughtful, do your research. And make truly educated decisions, but don't do it based on fear.
And I think more importantly, I agree with that 100%, James, but I have to say that, you know, I think that mandatory immunization is one subject, and I'm not sure, I don't really believe in mandatory immunization. If you want to quit your job or what have you because you don't want to get immunized, we do live in a country that constitutionally allows us the right to do that. And I think the big complaint that people have is they don't want to be forced to do anything. Based on the kind of comments we get on this, you guys, we're going to be back tomorrow talking about this same subject, the book, The Real Anthony Fauci by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Robbie and James, thank you so much, you guys.
Thank you, Al.
Take care.